Whipper.
Hey, who wants to hear a joke? Go and buy a house in Sydney. It's so expensive, it just can't get into the market.
Is that the tone for the day?
Was,
are we still going with the honesty thing?
I wrote that 3 weeks ago.
That was a terrible joke.
We didn't get a laugh there.
Funny way to resign.
6:15 vending machine coming up very soon.
No, I've got to be more.
Oh, have you? Great.
Not comedy. We've already had a laugh this morning. We're still laughing. Bernard Salt, he works for KPMG. He's run a few numbers here on what you could save money on if you want to buy a house or an apartment here in Sydney. So the example he's using is an apartment in Bondi. $1.1 million. So 20% there for the deposit and you're at $220,000. Okay, that's what you need to save up. That is a hell of a lot of money.
It's ridiculous.
If you're trying to put a little bit aside each month, to hit $220,000 is ludicrous.
Do you know what? Like, it's when you buy your first home as well, it's like... Just getting to the deposit is a momentous occasion for you,
tripping
right?
over the line.
But then you actually buy a house, you put the deposit down, and then you realise what your mortgage is.
Yep.
And you just go, and like for the first 5 to 10 years,
every month,
you're not even paying any of that loan.
Yeah, it's interest
only.
Yeah.
You're just getting nothing for it, except you're allowed to hang your own paintings. It's just, you can
have a pet.
Yeah, you can have a pet. Yeah. You can do what you want to your door.
And then you're on Click Frenzy trying to get to Bali for $300.
Then the site crashes again. For anyone who had a big night, here's what you can save money on. Here's his suggestion. All right, it seems to be popular at the moment. Smashed avocado on toast, right? Your 5 grain toast, a little bit of feta. $22 a serve is the average price.
With a bit of burnt salt and pepper, I'd say.
Yeah, beauty. Right? If you can save on that, right, cut down your $22. If you did that once a day, you'd have your money in 27 years. All right, so there you go.
What is it?
There's an idea.
So if you cut out your avocado for 27 years, you've got a deposit.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Soy lattes, $4 each. If you gave up 55,000 of them, right, it'd take you 150 years. So, I mean, that is not practical. So what I'm asking you to do is add these things up. So here's what we're removing out of our daily spend is your avo and your soy latte. Messina gelato.
Oh, can't
saying.
Give that up.
Well, $5 a scoop, sir. If you want an apartment in Bondi, cut back on your ice creams. 44,000 of them, 120 years, you've got your deposit. Chardonnay, how much are you drinking,
Sarah?
No,
I'll eat the Messina for 120 years. Oh Chardonnay.
God, if you want to talk about Chardonnay, Sarah knows how to handle herself around a bottle.
I'm more a red wine drinker, okay, but that's fine. Any alcohol.
Shiraz. Only the best, Barossa.
I mean, here are the numbers which don't seem to work. $15 a bottle on Chardonnay.
Ooh, that's a headache.
You're getting a free headache, yeah.
How many bottles of Chardonnay,
14,000 days of drinking a bottle of Chardonnay. I don't know why they're suggesting everybody just eats ice cream and drinks wine.
14,000.
Yeah, 40
so
years.
So that's one a day.
Yeah, 40
right,
years.
Okay.
There's your deposit.
This is sounding a bit like my life. A soy latte, a bottle of wine, and some ice cream.
This is you all over.
This is me from 5 o'clock every night.
They've done a study on you here. Good news is, if you do all of them, your deposit's going to be ready in 13 years.
That's not bad.
And imagine when you make that deposit, your night out of a $15 bottle of Chardonnay and you might have some Messina for dessert. So there's your tips on what to cut back.
And the other positive thing is, if you do save that money in 13 years' time, interest rates will be around about 15%.
Yep. The prices will have moved up again in 13 years and you still won't have your deposit.
That's good.
Enjoy your ice cream, kids.
Now, I found out overnight that Donald Trump's thinking about starting up his own television channel.
Unbelievable. Which makes perfect sense.
Who's watching that?
24/7 Trump. Makes perfect sense to do something a bit different today.
Early in the morning and it's
Wednesday.
Fun with someone, please.
Wednesday.
Wow.
Wednesday.
Punday Wednesday. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I feel like I'm cheating on Punday Monday. And occasionally, that randy Punday Tuesday that drops in when we have another idea.
Yeah.
Today it's Wednesday, though. You're right. Imagine that. 24/7 Trump. The question is, says, and that's why we're playing Punday Wednesday, what do you reckon would be viewed? What movies and TV shows would be on the Trump channel?
A lot of adult film. A lot of beauty pageants.
Or just him groping girls?
Yeah, well, no. Just him criticising women.
Yep,
yeah,
sure.
Just having a crack. That's all it would be.
Yep, and saying everything's rigged.
Yep.
I love his line of attack now that, you know, if he loses it, if everything's rigged.
Yep.
You guys rigged. Set this up.
She's been on drugs. Mm. What an investigation.
So you want people to ring in?
Yep. 13, 24, 10. Want your puns on the TV shows and movies that would appear on the Trump channel.
Okay, so it can be a movie, it can be a television show, and there's got to be a Trump-related pun
right,
in there
Sarah,
somehow.
You're up first, Cez. Are you ready to go? All right, drum roll.
Trumpy old men.
Oh, that's not bad.
Very cute.
Well done, Sue. Great stuff
there. Tommy Ivey, it's, feeling confident.
It's my favourite comedy. It's Toupee and a Half Men.
Oh, that's right. Because of his wig, Tom.
Exactly right.
Is it a wig, though? We don't know.
I'll watch that show.
Because there also needs to be children-friendly content on a similar theme. It is The Tortoise and the Terrible Hare.
Oh, that's not bad. Well, mine's hair related, so can
Afternoon cartoons. Yeah.
Farmer wants a wig.
I'd tune into that. To round it out, one of my favourites. Shawshank Republican.
Oh, mate.
You don't have to go.
That is so bad. And you use Shawshank. It's one of the greatest movies of all time, and you ruin it.
I love your disappointment every time we do Bunday.
Got to bring this up. It's quite funny because I was reading it last night, and you're probably thinking, well, why is Fitzy giving out some tips for new mums?
It's good of you, mate.
If you've just had a baby, you're probably up early this morning. Congratulations. And you're probably looking at your child right now and thinking, this is the best thing on earth.
This is a nightmare.
But then also, you know, there might be other things that have that you might have sacrificed since you've had the baby. And sometimes it's a bit hard, so you haven't been through this yet, but you do sacrifice time in the bedroom with your partner.
Well, is that, though, because you're so tired and one of you is always getting up to answer a child's cries and things like that?
You just don't feel like it. You might be a bit more body conscious as well, sir. Your body changes during pregnancy. In all many wonderful ways of beautiful life.
Sleep deprivation is horrible. Torture. Did anyone watch Todd Sampson's Body Hack last night? French Foreign Legion. And for 10 days, they were getting 2 hours sleep a night.
Yeah.
And just what they were putting their body through. And he said, you just go into it. You're in a different world.
Mm.
So, these are five tips. I thought these were quite funny for new mums on how to get back into the bedroom. Great. First of all,
Got some sexy music, Jay?
Oh, yeah.
Really want to set the mood here. That could help.
First one, get over the first time after giving birth dread. But that's why I'm reading these tips. That's why I'm reading this, because you've got to give me more information.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they say that the time frame is around about 6 weeks you're supposed to wait, sir.
Wouldn't it be... Okay, yeah, fair enough, unless you've had a Caesar, and then it would have to be longer,
That's longer. Yep. Well, with Caesar, you can't even drive a car for the first month or so, can you?
No, can't lift.
Tip number two, recognise that life is different now, but sex can still be fun.
That's where my issue is. I mean, I've described it to you, take the sex part away, but I'm still trying to hang on to a bit of youth and almost live these two lives where I feel like I'm still young and free, and then I walk in the front door and there's two kids screaming at me, and I go, oh, God, that life is slowly fading from where I am.
There's probably a lot of tradies now listening to us going, well, this doesn't mean anything to me either.
Well, it will.
It will,
it will,
lads, all right?
If you want your wife to.
Ladies, number three, remember the benefits.
Yep.
Because you forget them pretty quickly
when you have
a baby. Well, the pleasure,
I
suppose.
What are the benefits?
I don't know. Sarah, I'm not a lady.
Escapism, Sarah. A moment of maximum enjoyment. Better than a roller coaster or jumping out of a plane.
Yeah.
You've obviously never been
I would love.
I would want to jump out of a plane. Sorry, Fitz.
Lisa's got to write down the benefits that she gets.
Oh, endless. Darling, what are all those pages on the
God, you
on
could
the
do it on
table?
A post-it note, couldn't you?
No,
do you know,
you could do it on a stamp.
On and on.
The benefit is usually that once it's over, you have a full 24 hours before he'll even come near you again.
Do you know what love is, Sarah?
Do you know what? It's actually, you're actually quite right.
Yeah.
When your relation as it gets longer... Sometimes you actually do, when you do get intimate with your partner, there are moments where you actually go, well, I don't have to do that for a couple of days.
Yeah. I have never thought that.
I've just bought myself a window of time.
Never thought that. Sometimes I'll come downstairs in a bathrobe and then almost role-playing, I'll stand at the door to the living room.
Yeah.
Excuse me, are you busy? And I might even put on an accent. I might go, excuse me, are you a busy? I'll pretend to be French and then come down, part the robe, and she will see the glory.
Who are you role-playing, Pavarotti? Or?
And you don't think Lisa's sitting there shaking, thinking, let it be over?
No,
just let it be over.
And then I'll sing Ness and Dorma. Oh my God. See you later, guys. I'm off for a scotch.
You'll have your little hanky there. You'll be sweating more than Pavarotti.
Right.
You've just knocked off a degustation.
And a loincloth.
Number four, don't be afraid to schedule time in the bedroom.
See, that's where I reckon you're wrong. I think it's important to go, hey, we should try and find some romantic time. But the minute you go 1 o'clock Wednesday, well, you're not going to get there.
And this is the fifth one. I love this one so much that I would love to call a band after this.
Oh, yeah.
Number five, three words, embrace the quickie.
Well, aren't they all?
Oh. And another picture of Whippers' sex life.
But when you're married, you both know what you want. But it's kind of...
You both do know.
Wrap it up so we can get out of here.
No, but it is... When you do have kids and they're asleep, sometimes you just go, well, let's just... We don't have much time. I reckon he's going to be up in the next probably 10 minutes
and
or so.
And then she says, I didn't think it was going to be a quick. And you go, well, that wasn't.
She said, I haven't even taken my clothes off.
It gets very weird. Well, I'll just leave the room then.
Ew.
Coming up.
Well, I'm finished. Still got your jeans on. It's that great joke.
I know.
Can I please tell it, Tom? Please.
Theme
guy rocked up to a fancy dress party, and all he was wearing was a pair of jeans, nothing else, bare feet. He had his top off, just a pair of jeans. And they said, mate, what are you doing? It's fancy dress. And he said, yeah, I'm premature ejaculation. I've just come in my jeans.
Fancy.
There's another one to do with some custard.
That's enough.
Stop.
That's enough.
Say a play song. Now.
That is more than enough. New book is out, and you may have seen the 60 Minutes interview on Sunday night as well. My story, ex-Australian cricket captain Michael Clarke. He joins us now. Pup, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Nice to be here.
I'm always interested, Pup, when you write a book, do you actually write it yourself, or is it more dictation? Do you sit down with someone and verbally tell them what your life?
Yeah, I wish I could write like Malcolm Knox could. But, yes. He was my ghostwriter, but I spent... the book probably took close to 6 months to write. We spent so much time together on a daily basis.
Yeah, right.
On the phone. We went back to where I grew up, my first primary school, high school, my house.
Oh, so you actually go back to these places does it remind you of...
That's why I did it, because I found... My memory's not fantastic. Now, Mal has been around cricket for my whole career and a lot longer, so there was a lot of things cricket-wise that he brought up that brought back memories for me. But in regards to... my life, I feel like I had to go back and see it and feel it, and that brought up so much. So that was the way I did it. But it was, every word that's in the book is my word. Before it went to print, I'd read it 15 times to make sure that every word I believed in. Because I guess I've been on both sides as well. I've been on the other side where... you know, teammates have written a book and there's a little piece in the paper the next day.
Yes.
And your name's in there and you don't feel comfortable with it. So I took offence, and then I would have a conversation with that player or person and they would say, it was taken out of context, or I didn't say that. You know, I didn't actually read that in my book before it went. And I thought, I don't want that. You know, I know things are going to be written. Headlines, you know, papers need to be sold. I get that. And I understand some players are going to take offence to that. But all I say is... I believe in every word, that's in that book.
Yep.
And it's my truth. It's how I believe. There's always two sides to the story. But all I ask is that people, you know, read the page before, read the page after, and that will give you the context of how I wrote it.
Sure.
But I did write it. It is my word.
And you're not going to keep everyone happy, are you, Pup? I mean, there's things
I'm definitely not. I think I've probably saw that my whole career.
Shane Watson has come out today and said, you know the part where you said there was tumours in that there was a tumour in the team and there was a group of players and it just wasn't gelling well and he was one of them. Now he's come out today and said that all sums up the man that you are.
Yeah.
But this is when you're writing a book like this and you're brutally honest. That's what we want to see this side of you.
Well, that's why it's called My Story.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't about Shane. Shane was one of the players.
Yep.
And yeah, again, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have said it in that way. So like a lot of times through my career, as my father taught me or said to me growing up, sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So look, I completely understand, but what I say about that time in our team's history or where we were at that time.
Yep.
We were fifth in the world. There was a lot of things that all of us, you know, Shane was one of the players. There was another 10 players. All of us weren't doing well enough to be called Australian cricketers, to play sport at the highest level. And in our country, in sport, we want to be the best.
Yeah.
That's how I saw captaincy.
That's how we expect.
You want your
team
to be the best in the world. So every single one of us had to make changes with our attitude to help us get back to number one in the world. And Watto was one of the major players that led the way there.
Yep.
You know, again, this stuff's not going to make the paper, but, and I say that in the book, that I don't believe the senior players, Shane Watson, Mitchell Johnson, Ryan Harris, Brad Haddon, these guys got enough credit for taking us back to number one 18 months later. So it's hard, and the punishment that was given to the four players in the homework saga was not actually, you know, the main issue there was not that homework saga.
No.
And it was a tough punishment for certain players that hadn't done that much wrong on that occasion. Mm. So, you know, I feel like we as a team needed to go through that to get back to number one in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I would hate for people to think that it's, you know, and again, this stuff does sell and gets media attention. They want
the negatives.
Me versus someone.
Yes,
you know, they want it to be a personal battle. I have no issue with Watto. Never had. Loved having him in the team. In my opinion, he was as good a player as Jack Callis.
Yeah, sure.
It's just unfortunate to be have so many injuries, and again, he deserves so much credit for not quitting, not walking away when he had these injuries. But
you're right, though. Good way to put it. Read the page beforehand, read the page after.
That's all I ask. A lot of people aren't going to read the full book.
No.
And I, as a player, I've never read anybody else's
autobiography.
Cricket autobiography.
Haven't you really?
Never, no. I've read a lot of autobiographies, but not another.
Not Punters? Ricky Ponting's?
No.
Wow.
But I went and read the page before what Ricky said about me. And again, I had a conversation with Ricky about it. It sold a paper. It was a headline that Ricky was nailing me. Then when you actually read and me being honest with myself, what he said was spot on. It was a stage through my career where I was so selfish and I only cared about my own performances. So if I scored runs, I was in a good mood. If I failed, but I was a youngster and my whole life was about trying to just stay in that Australian cricket team. So I think I'm very self-reflective in there. And if I'm critical of anyone, I'm critical of
yourself.
A lot of times through my leadership where I could have done things better.
Yep.
A lot of times with confrontation or a tough conversation, I probably didn't care too much about the other person's emotions or feelings. I was just, I'm a straight shooter. I just see it and say it. And I've never understood sugarcoating the bullet.
Yeah, that's what Pup, I reckon the other night, and you know, we've heard all this stuff about you over the years, but I reckon the way you handled yourself on 60 Minutes, and I think it's a credit to yourself over the years that you've always confronted these issues.
Thanks,
you could walk away from them so quickly if you wanted to. You've written this book. You know that there's going to be these issues brought up again, and you take it head on, mate.
Yeah, I think it's taken me a lot of time to accept who I am, to actually accept that I am a little bit different to what the perception is of an Australian cricket captain or an Australian cricketer. But I shouldn't feel bad about that. I have no reason to apologise for that. I think that's our greatest strength in this world, that we are all so different. We all have our own way, our own style, but that didn't mean my love and passion for playing for Australia was any different to Alan Border or Ricky Ponting or Steve Waugh. I feel like I gave that team everything I had. Yeah. And maybe, you know, I did things a little bit different to what some people would have liked or felt comfortable with, but I wanted to get the best out of them.
Pup, just quickly, we need to move on, but Berrima, you've got a beautiful piece of land up there and you also rent it out. And recently, Whipper and his beautiful wife, Lisa, and the kids went up there to... how long were you there for, mate?
Oh, we're about 7 nights.
Yeah.
On the estate. Do you mind if I call it an estate?
You can call
on
it
the property.
On the farm.
Was there any memorabilia around, or what did you see there?
Zero cricket. No. Apart from a cricket oval, all you'll see.
You may have seen, I think I spotted a 23 in the hedge.
Oh, actually, yes.
That was a hedge. Yeah, I mean, your dad, what I love about your dad, Les maintains the place. And he goes from the farm to your house here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd be there doing breakfast and Les would be cleaning the barbecue. And I feel a bit bad that Pup's dad's out there fixing the pump by the pool. But, mate, we looked after the place, fed the alpacas.
Honestly, it's
I think you
fantastic.
Came in on the Sunday for the 60 Minutes interview. So I hope the place was okay.
No, it was unreal. It was unreal. My old man does a great job there.
Yeah.
I say to him, Dad, you can't go and talk to, like, we holiday let it. You can't go and talk to all the guests, but
He tried to sell me an early copy of the book.
Every Friday when he comes up to our house and sees Polly and I, he's always got a story about who's at the property. I go, Dad, it's not a place to start a conversation.
Oh, amazing place. And great to wake up and look out the window and think, this is how a captain wakes up.
Well, Whippy, you said
I feel like I've made it.
You got intimate with Lisa once and Les was doing the vacuuming.
Hey guys,
morning.
We're going to mention that one.
How did you go with the alpacas? Did they spit on you?
No, they didn't spit. We fed them. They were nervous.
You fed them.
Yeah, we took some hay from just down in the garage area near the bin.
They won't come to me. They are petrified of me.
We were just talking about your past and cricket career, but let's talk about the future for the Clarks. What do you want to do? You want to have a big family? Do you want to go out and live on a farm, pup, or what's your dream?
I love Sydney. I'm very biased to Sydney, so I think we'll definitely stay here. I guess I love the property because it's... Again, it's what I call no people time. When you drive in there, you feel like you've just got your family or your friends or whoever you go with.
Just Whipper.
And Whipper's there now. There's a big scar right on my couch where Whipper's been sitting. But
big dent in the bed.
I would love a bigger family. I think Kylie and I are really happy now with where Kelsey Lee's at. And she's at a special age, 11 months, and she's trying to walk. And especially for the dad, you get a lot more feedback now. You know, the first 6 months is all around looking after mum and making sure she's okay. But now my little girl's, you know, dad.
Well, you're not traveling the world all the time as well, mate. Yeah, this is the other thing. And do you want to stay involved with cricket? I mean, you still have a hit every now and then.
Yeah,
but
I'm commentating now as well. So I signed with Nine.
Great.
So I'll be with them all throughout the summer, which means I won't be playing. I won't be in the BBL. I'll be doing that. And I've got my academy as well.
Yep.
So that gives me a really good... I guess I get the best of both worlds. I help young boys and girls with my academy, and then I get to go and see... You know, the teams at the highest level now if I'm commentating. So I think that's the perfect mix for me and a little bit of club cricket if I get a spare Saturday.
Yeah, well, Pup, we'd love to get you on again, mate.
Sarah, let's get into Adele, because I am a big fan. What's her part? Don't look at me like that.
A girl from Tottenham.
I don't like flying.
Stop it. You do her accent all the time.
I don't like flying.
Very annoying.
I love it.
Yes,
what's Adele's partner done for her?
Her partner, Simon, has celebrated their fifth anniversary by showering her with confetti love notes at her concert in Tennessee.
How good's that?
Yeah, it's really cute. So at the end of her gig, what happens is white confetti notes, which have her song lyrics on them, they fall down on her and the crowd usually.
That's good.
But he had swapped them over as a surprise. So they were pink and they were covered in love messages like, happy anniversary, you're an angel, I love you long time.
Well, they can't
like
be too big, can they? Because they'd be heavy. You'd have to watch out.
Oh,
do you know?
Okay, whoa, no Fitz, we're not moving on. Why would they be heavy whips?
Well, if they're,
confetti
if they're
is
too,
paper.
Yeah, if they're too wordy. I'm saying that if they've got, because you're talking about long love messages.
If I dropped
happy anniversary.
An open 2-3 meters of paper on your head, do you think it's going to hurt?
It would hurt. 3 meters of paper dumped on my head.
No.
Depends what height you dropped it from.
Oh, you're a dead set moron.
I wonder how that guy, you know, she wrote the song Someone Like You.
Never mind, I'll find.
Someone like, I wonder how that guy's feeling after that. She just keeps going from success to success.
Oh, yeah. You'd be gutted that you broke up with Adele.
I know.
Yeah, he moved countries, I think.
Well, speaking of moving countries, Justin Bieber has up and moved out of the US. He's renting a London mansion. Apparently, he's just sick of the US and wants to be over there. It's $172,000 a month, 15 bedrooms in North London. He's absolutely in love with it. Yeah, it was built in 1910, 13 bathrooms, a home cinema, indoor pool,
spa, sauna, gym, wine
cellar, 2.5 acres of land.
You don't.
Good on
a two-bedroom apartment with maybe 1.5 bathrooms would have been fine for Justin.
Yep, small washroom.
You've got an extra room there for maybe your mum to come over and stay every now and then.
Oh,
yeah, if I had his money, I would rent the two better and probably donate the rest to charity. But that's just me.
How boring are you two? Pimp my pad as if you wouldn't go for the good stuff.
We know who the party animal is in this team.
You and Gary christening every room.
Oh, okay. Well, that's one weekend. What do you do the rest of the time? Anywho, moving
along. It takes a weekend, doesn't it?
Stop distracting me. Guys, some sad news. Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, has split with his wife. They've announced that they're devoted parents. Their first priority remains the children, but they're not going to stay together. They've got two kids, Ruby and Otis. But I didn't know that Tobey's wife is actually a really successful jewellery designer. She designed Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux's wedding rings.
Who cares?
And when they got married, she told Tobey Maguire, because she designed their rings, requested from her, can you make two? Because chances are I'll lose mine.
I don't care.
I don't care about it or any of that information. Okay. All you need to know is Toby Maguire is Leonardo DiCaprio's best mate.
I know. Yep.
Both single.
What a friendship. Wow. That is a good night out.
Follow that one, I reckon.
Oh, man.
They're having a good time. Finally, Kim Kardashian, guys, the latest on her. She's turning 36 this Friday, but they've said it's going to be a pretty low-key day because she's still not really leaving the house. She's not back on social media. Her assistant has released a statement saying, "Hey, guys, you may have noticed we haven't updated the Kim Kardashian app in a couple of weeks." Mm-hmm. She's taking some time off. Not to worry. You know, she'll be back soon. Good support for her. Thank you so much.
I noticed it big time.
I know you did. What's your favourite app?
At least you know what to get us, eh? I suppose just some jewellery and maybe a new security guard. I'm not making jokes. I mean, she's down a bit.
Well, the concierge of the hotel, speaking of the security, he's actually spoken out in detail and given his side of the story and said that, you know, the doors are glass.
Yeah, no, take your time.
Looked through and saw these people in fake police costumes and they kept saying, "Let me in, let me in." And then he was gagged and bound. But he says the security at this hotel has been a problem for years and years. He's been a long-term employee and he's brought it up many times.
Well, I've heard he's moved to another hotel.
Has he?
Formula One.
Oh.
No way.
No
way.
Well, no one there's got $1 million of jewellery, no, do they?
And even the people are only staying for their lunch break.
13-24-10, if you have been to a novelty restaurant. Don't mind a novelty restaurant. Want to celebrate one this morning, which is getting a bit of press at the moment. It's an aircraft that they dragged out of a desert.
Come fly with me, let's fly.
747, mate, Boeing. Jeez, it's a romantic bird, the old 747, isn't it?
We used to have the Buffalo. Where we grew up was the Buffalo ship, which was like an old pirate ship, and you'd go on there, and it was amazing as a kid.
That's fun.
But then as you got older, the thing was, though, the Buffalo was right next to the first ever nightclub we went to, which was Lenny's. Hello. Lenny's the nightclub. And what you, because it meant so much to us, this restaurant, after Lenny's, if you found a girl that you loved, you would go over to the Buffalo and you would ride the Buffalo and you'd just make out your...
Don't call her a Buffalo.
...the seas.
All women are beautiful.
You'd go up into the... Well, the restaurant would be shut down, but you could go up on deck.
Okay.
And,
That's
Sounds like a great night out.
Let me know when we're heading back there.
I'm unavailable that night.
Bloody missed out on that one.
No, there was no invite. I was just telling you all about it.
Should we get back to the 747?
It's a Pan Am plane, right? So the idea is that you, when you turn up for dinner, you can buy a business class or first class seat in the plane, but obviously it's not going anywhere. It's just on the ground. But it's like going back in time because it's all based around the 70s. So when you arrive at the restaurant, it's like you're checking in and the staff there at the restaurant are dressed in hostess outfits and all that sort of stuff. And then they show you through to the seat.
Is the exit row a bigger table?
I would say so. More leg room. But then the
safety demonstration?
They do the safety demonstration. Yeah, yeah. And in there they throw in a line about don't eat too much chili. It can be dangerous.
Oh, that's good.
In case of emergency, drink water.
Do they combine the specials with the safety demonstration?
I didn't ask and I haven't been there. So don't ask me questions.
You've got
the
story in front of you there?
I put it down 3 minutes ago and I'm making it up from here. What about in Melbourne? They've got the Titanic restaurant. Now, I love the romance of the Titanic. Great thing about the Titanic restaurant is that at one stage of the night, the iceberg arrives. But you can choose what sort of class you want as well. You can have cattle class. You can just turn up wearing what you want. Or you can put on a suit and get dressed up and sit in first class and experience the meal that they had on the night that the ship went down.
Awesome. So does someone throw a bucket of water on you halfway through the meal?
Tommy, what's the slogan? You're flooding? What's the slogan there?
The slogan for the Titanic Theatre restaurant is where your night is guaranteed to be a disaster.
Wow. Oh, awesome. Oh. So can I get the iceberg for entree, please, and get out of there as quick as I can? I couldn't think of anything worse.
But it goes on an angle too. Like the first class dining is on
That's
an angle.
Ridiculous.
And towards dessert, someone just runs in and yells out, "Iceberg! Iceberg!"
And then you go, "Oh my God, what should we do?"
Do you get to stand out the front and go, "I'm king of the restaurant"?
I don't think that's part of it.
I'm king of dessert.
I mean, Tommy and I went to the exhibition.
Exhibition that came out to Australia.
Oh, my God. Here's another serial killer trait between you two.
Yeah, but you know, it was amazing. You had to wear your suit like you were first class. Tommy didn't have a black tie outfit, and he wore a shirt which he'd bought from the novelty store in the States, a Seinfeld promotional shirt.
You know, the
frills on it.
Oh, the puffy pirate shirt. Yeah.
Tommy wore that as his black tie. But what was great about the exhibition, Gudinski put it on, mate, it was unbelievable, is when you walked in, you got handed a card. So you had a passenger name of someone that was on it. And then at the end, you got to find out whether you or your wife that you're paired up with survived. And Tommy, how's this for a romantic story? Is your wife listening? Tommy's mingling at the start of the exhibition, flirting outrageously with this girl in a tight purple skirt. Anyways, we walked through the exhibition. Tommy saw none of the exhibition. He was staring at this girl's bum the entire time. As we got to the end, we found out, how's this for a beautiful love story? Okay, that Tommy was actually the husband of the girl in the purple skirt, according to the pass and the fake name she'd been given.
Do you know what? You know what I get from that?
Oh dear!
I couldn't think of anything worse than being with you guys in that moment at that time.
It was such a wild night. You should have been.
And was it hard for you guys being the only ones there without a pensioner card?
It was really weird. I had to hand over my testicles at the end of the night and I got kicked out of there.
Sex in the City. Well, you've called it the greatest television show of all time.
Yep. Big smartest writing for any TV show that I've ever seen. I learnt a lot from Sex in the City too, growing up.
Well, probably...
God, I don't know if I was misled either, Sarah, because some of the conversations they have are... My God, pretty full on, aren't they?
Well,
talking about all sorts of places.
This probably contributes to why you think you know more about women than women do.
I know. Yeah.
You it's constantly an educational tell me program. What life is like.
Well, I explain your body to you.
Yeah,
very
which is
helpful.
Uncomfortable.
And I'm not even a doctor, but I just help out every now and then.
Well, the most... you're not to take the gloves off.
Without a doubt, the most memorable character from Sex in the City would have to be Samantha, Kim Cattrall. Now, she's in the paper today. I didn't know she was 60. She's still in great nick.
Yeah,
amazing. Now, she's here for Specsavers. We were lucky enough yesterday to go into Hunter Street in the city, Specsavers in there, sat down, a little bit of a weird environment, but we sat down with Kim Cattrall and had a chat to her.
Well, this is an absolute pleasure. Kim Cattrall, welcome to Australia and welcome to the Fitzy and Whipper Show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
We don't normally do our show from here. This is not our radio studio.
No, no. Very glamorous, I must say.
Do you do many interviews in sort of eye specialist and clinics like here at Specsavers?
This is actually a first.
Yeah, this is.
Could be a last as well.
Yeah, it is. And you're actually wearing a beautiful white coat at the moment, but you could be our optometrist. You can maybe check our eyes while we're doing the interview.
Oh, so you want me to play a part, do you?
If you wouldn't mind.
It's not wrong.
I don't know where this is going.
This is going all very wrong.
It's going to be an ad lib from here.
This is going to be on YouTube and I'm not going to like it. I'm keeping this white coat on.
Exactly.
Please. Great to have you in town, though, because...
Great to be here, really.
Your grandfather took off, escaped, came to Australia.
Apparently, yes.
God, did the bolt and ended up down under.
Apparently, yes.
As a postman?
He had a post... It was a grocery store postman.
Yeah, right.
He had lived in Liverpool and he was now in a suburb of Sydney called Liverpool.
Oh, wow, went from one Liverpool to the next.
Ooh, it is, isn't it?
Yes, I never met him, never knew him. He passed away before I found all of this out.
Right.
And you visited Australia a few times. You were just telling us
this
before.
Is my third visit, yes.
What are the Australian fans, the Sex and the City fans, like?
I find them to be incredibly, really friendly and outgoing. Not shy.
No.
But really forthright and tells me specific, most of the fans tell me very specific episodes, which most of them are dear to my heart. So I feel a symbiotic kind of connection, actually. Right.
Because my entire family, and I think the show is so brilliant, but my entire family, mother and two sisters in particular, love Sex and the City. And I have moments, I was telling Fitzy on the way here, where a topic would come up, which I would find confronting, and growing up when I didn't know much about it, some certain things. And mum was left trying to explain.
I'm not a doctor. What, I'm not a
Is that white coat again?
Actress.
I know what it means now.
Okay, good.
Growing up, it was some of those moments. When you have that role that Samantha played, was there times where you had to remind people that that's not who you were?
My name is Kim.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. And I think that's sort of a double-edged sword in a way because it's a great compliment.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'm not like that character in any way. And it can sort of get in your way, especially if you're dating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of men can fear you.
And they think
she was a fearless kind
of
gal.
Powerful woman.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And they thought you were an expert in that intimate side of things.
Yes, yes.
Did it get to a point where you had to tell guys straight up that, look, I just want to tell you straight up that I'm not like my character Savannah.
Well, I think after a few minutes,
yes,
they would realise that I was not Samantha and I was Kim and maybe someone that they would like to meet who was less scary. Possibly.
Yeah. You were just talking about fans coming up and talking about certain things. Like, there were so many episodes of Sex and the City. Were there bits that you've even forgotten about that fans remember? Or is it still very distinctive in your mind, the whole series?
Well, my experience of Sex and the City or any show or movie that I've done is from my perspective, and I'm in it. So someone else's perception can be quite different.
Yeah, sure.
The thing that I'm most proud about is that it was about women supporting each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And women as family, which is a very positive thing. Because I think that the entertainment industry, especially, has a lot invested in women being at each other.
Yes.
You know, especially fighting over men.
Mm.
It's one of those iconic shows which gets put into a group, I suppose, of shows that will never be forgotten or die.
Oh,
it really is.
Oh, you are.
And then when you look at, you know, the bus tour, you're on and off tour around New York.
Yes.
There's all the Sex and the City points, and there's the Sex and the City tour in particular.
It's an amazing compliment, really is. Mm. And when you know, as you get older and more time goes by from the actual experience of making, especially the series, which I love the movies, they were so much fun, but the series was real gold.
Clever.
And I look back at that and I think, you know, that's changed in some way a man or a woman's perception of what it is to be a woman, first of all.
Yep. Yes.
And what it is in society and the complications of relationships from both sides of you, really. Not
are
just
you still
women's.
Tight with the girls?
Yes, I mean, I don't really spend a lot of time in New York at the moment. The last sort of 10 years since the series ended, I've been spending a lot of time in England working, especially in theatre and film and television. So when I get home, but when we do find ourselves together, it's like family, you know?
Yeah, sure.
You shared off and on 14 years together. Mm. I mean, I was just telling the girls earlier, you know, you spent during that time of the series more time with your Sex and the City family than you did with your actual
family.
That's
right.
So when you have that bond, it doesn't really matter if you see each other all the time, but when you do, there's that instant connection.
So, Doc, do you think I need cataracts if you just have a...
Let me take a look at that.
So how's this? And obviously Click Frenzy last night with the hotels.
Mm. Yes.
And you could get, you know, Bali. I think they had 6 nights Bali and flights for like $399.
Jeez, that is good.
That's not bad. How's this one? The world's cheapest hotel has been revealed.
Oh, yes.
50 cents a night.
My God, what do you get?
It's called
besides
the Farapur Hotel in Bangladesh. See, there's a photo.
That's not a private room, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's no private rooms. Now, it's not actually a hotel. It's not a building. It's an old boat. So there's 5 boats that are on the Buri Ganga River there, and it's very, very polluted.
Oh,
but
gross.
See, the unfortunate thing, Sarah, is that when you have a shower, you've got to use the river water. You get a bucket and you go out the back of the boat and you can clean yourself. It's 50 cents a night. Now, this is the thing. If you don't want to sleep with other people, because you do have to sleep right next to someone on the boat, if you don't want to, you can get a private room for $2 a night.
Okay. Oh, that's not bad.
Which is not bad. You get your own locker.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
And there's one ceiling fan in there that they all share when it gets a bit hot.
Right, so I mean, imagine your excitement when you go there and you've booked the 50 centre and they go, you know what, we've upgraded you for tonight and you get your own locker for the $2 room.
Tommy, how would you feel?
Yep.
Why don't we hire a room or a bed? You don't actually get a mattress, it's just a bed. You lay down next to someone else. You get a pillow. What if we hire a room for the whole year and any of our listeners can just use one of those beds whenever they
if
want?
If you're travelling around.
If we did the whole year, how much would that cost?
Well,
so that's
it's 50 cents a day. Mm-hmm. You're looking at around about $180.
I can find that in the budget, in the show budget.
If you could do that.
Yep.
All right. On the Fitzy and Whipper show, guys, if you want to travel around the world and pop into Bangladesh, free bed.
I mean,
thanks to Fitzy and Whipper.
The amount of people listening right now that are thinking, I've booked my flight to Bangladesh, but I haven't sorted the ACOM yet. Well, you're right. It's on us.
I think Fitzy should say what's better. Whipper looks fat in that sweater. Write a letter to the editor.
And the editor of this show is a lady by the name of Sarah McGilvray.
Yeah, well, I would have edited this part out.
Giving away a full name.
We love getting your feedback. Tweet us at Fitzy and Whipper or email us fitzyandwhipper@novafm.com.au. Today, guys, it's the team edition.
So nobody
on the team is safe.
Wow, this is great.
Let's get into it. So Ellen has emailed.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Sarah. I remember hearing once on the show that Whipper instructs the producers to tell callers not to say, "How are you?" I don't think they listened.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Hey,
gents. How are you?
Hey, Paul.
Boys, how are we? Hey, boys. How you going? How you going, boys? How's it going?
Hey, how you going?
Good, mate. I mean, I don't want to sound rude because that's a normal conversation you'd have, but when you call the show, just get to your story.
No, but see, this is
just
the thing.
Just rip into your story.
No, but see, people don't know, but in the radio industry, they say, look, just tell people to get to the point straight away. But, you know, when you meet someone, you want to say, g'day, how you going?
But if I say, hey, Fitzy, what's your story? Your first thing isn't, hey, mate, how are you? No, answer the question. Tell me your story.
Very true. Tommy, you stuffed up something in your segment, last week.
Again?
And it sent our Twitter page into a little bit of a meltdown.
So what if I put an E on the end of the sickness flu?
It's not a word.
So Elise, Rob, Jess, Dan, John and Mel all tweeted, flu with an E is actually a word.
Thank you.
It's a duct pipe or an opening in a chimney.
How did I not know that? I don't have a chimney.
You spend 3 hours a day trying to make me look silly on the show.
Yep.
And I'm glad you brought up an example today, Sarah.
Isn't it a flute? You have no idea.
With a T.
No, it's a flu, isn't it?
Flu, yeah, inside your chimney. Look, yeah. I humbly apologise and...
Get out.
Okay, see you guys.
Sorry, I snapped.
Very sorry.
Dave has tweeted... Does Matt DeGroot give the same response when asked how he is on purpose? It's very frustrating.
Matty DeGroot.
Hello, mate. Hello, mate.
We've got to put that into a song.
You've got to get a T-shirt.
Hello, mate.
If you actually listen closely, you can hear Whipper every time going, Tommy.
Hello, mate. Tommy.
Creatures of routine.
Tommy, can you put that into Hollaback Girl, please?
Hello, mate. No worries.
Outstanding. Oh, well done, boys.
Hello, mate.
To prove I'm not biased, this feedback came to my personal Facebook account. It was for me from Jordan Rendall. He says, please get off Fitzy and Whipper. You suck. Except you spelled Whipper, WHIPPER. So to me, Jordan, you're not really that big a fan
Jordan,
of anyone.
Jordan, know the show or don't comment, please.
And don't contact me on my personal Facebook, Jordan. Yeah. It's not appropriate.
Come on, Jordan.
Oh, I gave that to him.
I go under the name Jordan
and your address.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to find his address and send him my personal thoughts on his life. Boys, it's not a true letters, though, unless we rag on you a little bit. So here's a montage of things you've mispronounced this week.
Justin Bieber world tour.
I felt like Usher Ginsburg.
And Nickelback.
It's Wolf of Wall Street.
You're going to be more successful with your exams.
Well done.
I can't believe I've been employed to speak.
It's got to the point now where you have to put it into a montage. It's not just individual bits.
Thanks for your feedback, guys. Keep it coming.
Well done.
Donald Trump, I mean, how many weeks are we from the election? I reckon about 2 or 3 weeks away.
Start of November.
Got a song for you next week about Donald Trump as well, and just trying to urge all Americans not to vote for him, because we're huge in America. A lot of people podcast the show.
Sarah, you're involved. Big shout out to everyone in New York who's listening right now.
Sarah, you actually wore a Donald Trump wig and looked a little bit like Missy Higgins.
Well, I mean, the comparisons were Missy Higgins, Justin Bieber, a bit of Dido.
Dido, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't my best look,
Good.
The latest, Donald Trump has said that he's just sick of the media against him and Fox News, and they're just against him. So he's actually thinking that if he doesn't become the president, he's thinking about starting up his own television network.
Not a bad idea. I mean, would it be 24/7 Miss Universe?
Trump. It'll just be Trump.
Sure.
What the government are doing wrong, Miss Universe. What then the government need to do, Miss Universe. Howard Stern interviews.
Miss Universe.
In the back of a bus with Billy Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is all the stuff that'll be on there. One show that I reckon he would be great on is The Block.
Oh, yeah?
Ah.
Well, he's done Celebrity Apprentice. We already know that.
Yep. Yeah, property developer.
But The Block would be amazing. I mean, here's a bit of a promo.
Rock out with your block out. Tonight on The Block, Donald loses it when he announces once again the most important addition needed in his apartment.
We need to build a wall. It has to be built quickly.
It's also auction night and our blockheads are in shock when Donald starts bidding on his own apartment.
Bring it in, there's another bit.
Two?
Got another one over there with a man with the orange skin.
Maybe four?
And he's gonna begin over there to the sex best.
242. 2,300.
No, under the guy with the squirrel on his head.
8,737,540,000. $1.3 trillion.
But things go south for Donald when he has a brain snap and decides to sell it straight away.
I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China.
It's a blockbuster tonight. Rock out with your block out on The Block.
Wow,
that would be amazing.
Do you know what the sunshine means? Great time to pick up. You know, as the temperature gets a little bit higher, people start to flirt. A lot of love is made in the summertime. The feeling sits higher in the air and people like to get down to the beach with their loved ones. Team Swim? No one's keen.
With your loved ones, are you picking up or what are you doing?
Well, it's just the
you're
way
picking
you...
up or you're going down with your partner or...
just summertime flirting. It's
young
love.
It's not Woodstock. Huh? It's not free love, man.
No, I'm just suggesting that in the summertime, you know, people have summer love, they call Fitzy, and it's when you meet somebody just for that summer period and that romance you remember
Danny
forever.
Thanks, Danny Zuko.
Where am I going with this?
Oh, dear.
How to know if someone finds you attractive? Five signs, guys, if you're single out there and you're trying to read the play in these situations. Because, say, when you and Gary met, you know, trying to work out where you both stand is always a bit of a juggle at the start, you might say, in life.
It's not a nice period, is it?
When you first meet someone, one of the clues is closing the gap. You know that personal space invasion that can happen sometimes. Often happens in the lift here at work. Where it'll stop at every level when you're going down, and then someone gets in there standing right in front. I don't even know where to put my hands, but I'm sort of in front of my chest trying to block myself because
you've
got
to talk to employees from 2GB and 2UE.
No.
Got no idea.
Not to mention the team at Smooth.
Well, you know, it's awkward as well. And they're looking at you going, you're playing that Justin Bieber crap. And I'm looking at them going, well, you're just talking about politics the whole time.
I can't believe the bloke downstairs is charging so much for the yogurt. And you're both angry about being here. But if someone invades that personal space, that's a key sign. If they come in closer for the conversation, tick that off. Was one of the major movers. Number two, this is an interesting one, rapid blinking. I didn't know that the blink was a flirt.
Oh.
I mean, if you're meeting somebody, is rapid. It a way of showing off your eyes, maybe?
Well, it's that fluttering eyelashes sort of thing.
So it's a thing
it's hay fever, isn't it?
No, that's when you sneeze and snot down their front.
Yeah.
Is it a thing that a girl would do more than a guy?
I don't think you'd notice it. It's probably one of those body language things that you don't know you're doing. Because I don't think I've ever blinked a lot.
Rapid blinking.
Because you've never walked away from a situation and gone, she is into me, mate. Did you see how much she was blinking? She was blinking all over me.
No.
Wow.
No, she's got a bit of pollen up her nose and she's just taking a Zyrtec. That's the only reason.
Talking too much and teasing you. So almost in a panic conversation.
But they say that with kids. When you like someone at primary school, you tease them.
Yep.
Push them over in the sand pit. You know what I mean? You make jokes about them and, you know, you go up to them, Sarah, and maybe give them a bit of a dead arm.
Yeah, but
that means that you love them.
In this office, everyone teases each other. So by that definition, we're all
flirting.
Well, God, you two sit on each other's laps and give each other massages.
Don't get enough massages from you
anymore. No, De Groot gives the best massage.
Does he?
Yeah, he gave me a great one a few days ago.
I mean, did you and Gary...
Apparently he's the best kisser too.
Okay, well, you need to sort out your social life, don't you?
I don't think it's on here. Anything to do with kissing?
Yeah.
I mean, did you and Gary play those little games to start with where you would go, I don't know, would you tease him? Hey, you've got red hair and a strong chin line.
Ooh.
Would you say things like that to him? No, that would be your form of teasing.
Scary got red hair.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
It's brown.
Oh, is there a tinge in there at all, sir, in the sun at a certain angle?
What is wrong
with
red hair?
No, but when he grows a beard, it goes a bit gingerish.
Okay, that's all right.
He's got red hair. It's fine. I'm not calling him a clown or anything, Sarah. There's nothing wrong with red hair.
Okay, keep going.
Noticing little changes too. And that's where you and I always talk about when, you know, your wife walks in and she's had her hair cut and she says, what do you think? And you go, I don't know what you're talking about.
I never noticed those things. No. But noticing little changes and details, Seth, sure. That's a key sign. That's number four.
Yep.
God, as we go through the list. Fitzy and Whipper.